This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
All right, ready?
Yeah, are you ready for me to forgive you that I'm here on a Sunday?
Yes.
Let's talk about forgiveness.
Okay, before we start, I'm gonna blow your mind. You ready?
Yeah.
I am gonna start this episode off with a quote.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's one of my favorite quotes. I don't know if it's my favorite quote anymore, but it used to be. It's a Buddha quote. You ready? Mm-hmm. Anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Mm-hmm. It's a good one for this episode.
I've heard it. Let's talk more about it. What does that mean?
So we're talking about forgiveness today because something we all have to go through.
Especially around the holidays. I think it's good we're talking about family systems around the holidays.
I think so too. Well, I think especially, what's going on there?
Just ignore it.
I think especially just being a human, right? We all gotta forgive here and there. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give you the definition of forgiveness. And psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. And it does not mean forgetting, or does it mean condoning or excusing offenses?
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I feel really good about that. And I would say the struggle that I have is forgiveness, which I think many clinicians have, is for a long time we have talked about, like, you need to forgive someone in order to heal. Mm. I don't think I actually believe that. But I also believe that you have to release.
Yes.
And I think this is where I like that it talks about deliberate decision to release feelings.
Right.
And I think when we use the word forgiveness, it feels like it is about them and releasing them. But I want to talk about it in terms of, like, releasing ourselves.
I think that's an important thing to start with, because I think we often think about forgiveness as, oh, this is for the other person. Mm-hmm. Right. If someone comes up to you and they say, oh, can you forgive me? Right. You know, like, people will say that. Oh, mm-hmm. I did this. Will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. Right. That makes it about the other person.
Who says that to you?
not a lot. People have it. I haven't heard it in a while. I'm just saying, I feel like people say that now.
Yeah, okay. Yes, no, I'm sure you're right. It's interesting. Okay, so it's also interesting, like, as a parent, because, like, right now, like, Millie's at an age where, like, if they make mistakes, they're supposed to say, I'm sorry. And so then, like, if, like, she keeps repeatedly getting, like, pushed down and someone keeps repeatedly saying sorry and the kid doesn't change their behavior, I struggle with this because, like, I don't teach her to say, like, it's okay.
Right.
Like, I tell her, like, you're allowed to say, like, oh, that hurt me. Or, like, I don't want to play with you right now, right? Like, you don't have to automatically, just because someone says I'm sorry doesn't mean you have to say it's okay.
Well, the it's okay in that situation, would that be forgiveness? And would that forgiveness, I think it's permission, be for the other person?
I feel like it's permission.
Okay.
Right? Like I liked the definition that you talked about, which is forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing, right? So I think when you say it's okay, to me that feels like the condoning.
And I also think, I mean, we're thinking about forgiveness as, like, an expression, right? Like, it's okay would be an expression of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I think that is maybe for the other person.
Right? To ease their anxiety or make them feel better.
As opposed to forgiveness is something you do internally with yourself.
Okay, so what's the point of forgiveness? Why? Why do it?
So just as Buddha said, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die, which means it affects you to not forgive, right? And so harboring anger and resentment can lead to the body releasing stress hormones, like cortisol and adrenaline, whenever the person comes to mind, right? So like if you're on social media, I'm just going to use social media.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, no, I'm going with it. Yeah, do it.
And you see like an ex and they did something fucked up to you years ago. Mm-hmm. Every time you see it, you're like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, if you're listening to this, raise your hand if this resonates with you.
I don't feel like I do it for romantic relationships. I do it for friendships. For mine, I don't feel like towards romantic relationships because I feel very much like I don't care about that. Like, right. Because also, I will say, out of a self-compassion part, because I have done a lot of shit I would not like to say recorded onto a podcast in my relationships, okay?
Do you think they're scrolling through social media looking at you and they're like, fuck that chick?
Possibly. No, I don't think that. I don't think I ever like to like deliberately hurt someone or abuse someone in some way. But I think I just like I said, like I went through a phase where I like drank and party a lot. So like with that, I think just like you do stuff that hurts other people.
Absolutely.
Not even intentionally. So I don't feel that in terms of romantic relationships, but I do feel that on social media when I like scroll past a girl that like sucked me in high school and I'm like, screw that girl.
Does that feel like, okay, does it feel like your cortisol and adrenaline are activated in those moments?
No. Okay. I just feel like, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a scorpion sting, right? I just want to like, I just want to give him like a little pullback and like a little bit of a sting, a little bitterness.
So that's kind of the physical benefits, right, to be able to let go. There are also emotional benefits. Okay. Like reducing unhealthy anger, repairing potentially valuable relationships, growing as a person, exercising goodness in and of itself no matter the response.
Okay.
And I think we should preface this.
Yeah.
Because I think as we talk about in every podcast episodes, there are situations where this is helpful.
Like, and other times, right? Okay, so let's preface it. Just to be very clear, if you went through abuse,
that's exactly what I was gonna say.
If you went, right, if there was an abusive situation, you do not need to forgive someone for you to heal past that. But there's some times where somebody was just not their best selves. Like, when I talk about having some of this pain from like girls in high school are struggling so hard. Right? So like whatever they did to me and then whatever I did to someone else is because of a fuller system of being like so separated from yourself, not having your brain fully developed, making impulsive decisions, right? Like, so like we're talking about forgiveness in terms of that kind of shit.
Right.
Or like towards your parents who were growing up actually at the same time you were.
Right. Depending on the parents, unless your parents were abusive.
Exactly, right? Then it's not okay. So, like, there are lines.
There are lines, of course. And that's the case in everything that we talk about. But I think sometimes, too, not forgiving can almost be empowering in those situations, in situations in which you don't feel like you had any control over.
Yeah.
Of situations of abuse, of rape. And so there's, you can ask yourself, is not forgiving something that feels empowering to me? Or is it something that feels like it's hurting me?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've talked before on the show about like that I'm a sexual assault survivor myself. I don't forgive the person that did that to me and I don't care about them either.
Exactly.
That's and I don't particularly give a shit what happens if I'm being honest to them.
Right. And so that's a perfect example of a situation where, and do you feel like you can heal without?
Yeah, not a problem.
Exactly.
Does not feel, feels very, my healing feels very separate than anything to do with them. I'll say that.
So that's, I think, a really important thing that we talk about is that when we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about it in the sense of like there are these like little moments or these moments that you were hurt in relationships, not in situations of like abuse or assault.
No, we're talking about ruptures, normal things that happen in every relationship.
Right. And sometimes, and in this definition, it says sometimes it's beneficial to work through that forgiveness so that you can maintain the relationship.
Okay, like here's, can I give an example?
Please.
So here's like an example of like what we talk about, like as like ruptures that just happen in relationships. When I was going through fertility treatment, I did a very bad job of asking for help from everyone involved, from my partner, frankly, from my therapist at the time, right, from my business partner, Jen. Like I just was like, I was like, I can do this on my own. And I like tried to like fully go into some state. I then ended up having a ton of resentment towards my partner because I felt like they should have been able to jump in and know what I needed, but they did not. And I didn't ask for it. And so do I think that's my fault? No, I do not. But I also have a decision, which is I hold that against my partner and put walls up, which don't worry, I tried this version.
Went through that one already.
Yeah, already, it doesn't work. Spoiler alert, doesn't work. But
why do we think,
I don't know.
Why do we think that that works?
Self-protection.
Yes.
Right? Like I had to think that like if he truly messed up and it was like, I don't know, not done on purpose, but like done from neglect, like he should have known better, or like he just chose not to, then like I can heal myself and wall myself up from experiencing the pain again. That's what I would say.
Well, in a kind of a similar way, right? Like it's almost like if you forgive, then you think, will this happen again with the same person that we feel like?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? If I forgive them, isn't that just giving permission to do it again? I like need to hold it. But like, but we don't say that in terms of kids, right? Like when we talk about like child rearing and like raising kids, we don't say like, well, if they spilled the milk that one time, you better hold it against them forever because they'll never learn. Like,
right.
No, you just talk about it, clean it up, and then you move forward. But you typically do it in the moment.
So I think something we could say is that like you can forgive and still set boundaries,
mm-hmm.
right? That we almost think of not forgiving as like, if we don't forgive, then they'll learn.
Yes.
As opposed to I can forgive, but I can also set this loving boundary mm-hmm. where I can say this is not okay for
yes,
me.
Yes, absolutely.
I think sometimes we think the two go hand in hand.
Yes, yeah. So you told me that there are some stages to forgiveness.
There are stages to forgiveness. Guys, we're just dropping a lot of information on you.
Too much.
Too much information.
Too much. And let's somebody just summarize this.
We're trying to summarize forgiveness for you. Someone can summarize this after, and it's going to get summarized until it turns into a 1 minute podcast.
We could just do a Cliff Notes Shrink Chicks.
Okay, this is a side note. I'm so sorry. Do you remember in the 90s? I know we've been talking about the 90s a lot. There was an infomercial about like learning how to read very quickly.
Oh my God, I know exactly what the fuck you're talking about. Exactly what you're talking about.
Now that I think about it, that's a phenomenal skill. Like, what? At the time, I was like,
it was a computer program, right?
Yeah, it was, or I just remember this guy. It had to, maybe a computer, I don't know if it was a computer program because it was very.
Oh my God, we should become speed readers.
Speed readers.
Yes.
We'll do an episode.
Also, when you keep saying like, remember in the 90s, that feels like yesterday to me.
I know.
Like when you say remember in the 90s, I just assume you're talking about last weekend.
It wasn't.
Okay. That's, I know, fine.
But anyway, speed, that's reading, what made me, speed reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So there are four stages of forgiveness created by Robert Enright. The first one is to uncover your anger by exploring how you've avoided or addressed the emotion. What do you think about that one?
The first is to uncover your anger by exploring how you avoided or addressed the emotion. So mine would be avoidance.
Same.
Right? Like, for straight up, mine would be like, okay, so like the reason I'm so angry is because I actually avoided this for so long and I allowed so much resentment to build up that it's just, it's all grown into anger.
And not necessarily avoidance in like, oh, I like feel this, but I'm not bringing it up. Mine would be like compartmentalize. Like,
I won't let myself feel this.
I won't even let myself feel
this.
We're
not even accessing it. It is over there on a shelf. I'm going to wave and I'm going to fucking walk out.
So I think that's an important distinction to make is forgiveness is not just like pushing the emotion aside and pretending like it's not there. That you have to actually acknowledge that you're upset first.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a key. The second one is to make the decision to forgive.
No. Gulp.
Begin by acknowledging that ignoring or coping with the offense hasn't worked and therefore forgiveness might provide a path forward.
Okay. I can see that. That makes a lot of sense, right? Like consciousness of it, the whole thing.
I like that it's talking about it as a decision.
Yeah.
Because I think...
That's something you have to do. You get to choose and decide to do.
You get to choose and decide. And also I think, you know, in some ways... People might think of it as it's something that just comes to us, almost like closure. You know, people are like, oh, closure will just come to me.
I know. I love when people say that. I'm like, from where?
You're like, how?
What do you mean? From the vents? What are you talking about? The flowing out? Like air? Which fuck are you talking about? But I feel like I've had so many clients who come in and they're like, I know. I've like gone to other therapists before and they all talk about like, I got to forgive them to move forward. And I'm like, ah, tick, 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 tick. What? What? Because it also makes it that it is automatic and then it takes away the autonomy of it, right? Mm-hmm. We are therapists, not counselors. We believe not in making decisions for you, but supporting the decisions you make for yourself. Autonomy over everything. That's trauma informed right there. So it is a decision you get to make when you're ready and it feels right for you based on how it's affecting your life, not because what you should be doing for other people. I love that part. I like step two.
I like step two because it makes us feel like we're in control of our lives.
I like control.
Who doesn't?
I like control a lot.
Well, and I think that it, these are steps because this is a process. Like, mm-hmm. we're not going to read these. And if you're thinking like, oh, I need to forgive this person, you're going to like hear this and be like, oh, I'm ready. You know, like it's a process. And to make the decision to forgive is also about consciously acknowledging what we were saying before, that you can still set boundaries for yourself and you can still communicate what your needs are or take care of yourself in certain ways and forgive at the same time.
Yep.
Right. And so one doesn't have to exist without the other, where it's like the only way I can protect myself is if I don't forgive. Do you ever hear of people who are like, oh, that person holds grudges? Like, there are some people who hold grudges for like the rest of time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good way to reframe holding grudges, that that person is holding grudges as a way in which to protect themselves, but it's over functioning for them.
It's probably people that have a sudden asparagus.
A sudden asparagus? A sun in a...
That's what we talked about in another episode, right?
I thought you said... Well, I was like, wow, asparagus is coming up a lot.
It's Scorpios with a moon
What's
in...
What's my rising sign again? I feel like you remember this.
Yeah, I can't remember. We did do all your stuff before, and now I can't remember anything.
Same. Okay.
No, I just can't get my nose.
Again? Gonna help you blow your nose before these episodes.
It's winter in Pennsylvania. Okay.
So, okay, let's go on to the third one because now we're just getting crazy. Third, cultivate forgiveness by developing compassion for the offender. Reflect on whether the act was due to malicious intent or circumstance in the offender's life.
This one is gotta be the hardest. I don't know what number four is. You haven't told me yet, but like, this one's hard. But one, the word offender in general is what makes my body tense up. So let's use a different word here.
Yeah.
Which is like, let's talk about the idea of like your parents growing up the same time as you. Right? Like, I always think about it a lot that like my mom didn't have access to Instagram where she learned about gentle parenting. Right?
Yes.
There's not.
Yeah, no.
Like, we have so much information now about how to like
the information age.
Right, the information age, right? So we have so much information that, one, makes you doubt yourself and second guess, but also, like, I can, like, teach myself how to do shit online. Like, that is not something that, like, right? Your mom wasn't able to, like, follow Feeding Littles and Kids Eat in Color, like, on Instagram to know that you shouldn't, like, make your kid eat something.
100%.
Right? That was not a thing.
No.
So everyone's like, for the most part, like when I think about it, like a lot of times people are trying their best with the skills that they have, which might not be a lot. If you weren't modeled that, if you didn't have some of this information. Now, some people do have intent to harm.
Yes.
Right? If you grew up in like a hell house situation, man, and there was like some actual evil moving on, I'm not sitting here saying you have to forgive shit. Fuck that noise.
That's kind of the, I think that's yes. a big distinction, right? Like, there, when people hurt you, but maybe they don't have intent to hurt you, mm-hmm. or, you know, that you
it,
can make...
It was just circumstantial.
It was just circumstantial, exactly. As yeah. opposed to, like, once again, you grew up in, like, an abusive household. You yeah. don't have to forgive.
And it's hard, right? Because also, like, a lot of times abuse is a cycle, right? So, like, there's a good chance that your parents experience alcohol in their house or they experience abuse in their house, right? Like, and they're even giving it to you so much better than they had it, right? Like, this is what we talk about, like, is intergenerational transmission process that we try better with each generation.
I think, too, you can develop empathy. Like, that's an example of, okay, if my parent was abusive to me, I cannot forgive them and can say, like, that wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. But I can also develop empathy for the fact that they were abused as a child.
Yeah.
Right? And so, once again, it doesn't have to mean that they're mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, that there might be parts of these steps that are helpful for you and then parts that you don't agree with or parts that don't fit with the situation
yeah.
that you grew up with. And so that's okay. So take all of these and take what fits, throw out what doesn't fit.
Okay.
As always. So yeah, I think we use a different word other than offender. So how can you develop empathy mm-hmm. towards what their situation was? You know, perfect example and what you said about like the girls in high school, mm-hmm. where you can think back to. I
mean, everyone is in pain in high school.
Everyone, right? Your hormones were raging.
A lot of pain going around. I have chosen to not hold anything.
Exactly, because they were going through stuff themselves.
Well, and also I choose to forgive others in that situation because I really want forgiveness for who I was at 15 years old, right? Mm. Like, that's a big part of, like, I can only have self-compassion for me if I can have self-compassion for you. Mm. And I need to have self-compassion for me because, like, I have pain.
And that's where we're going to go into forgiveness of ourselves.
Okay.
Because I think that's a big one, but let's finish this.
Okay.
The fourth step is releasing the harmful emotion and reflect how you may have grown on the experience and act of forgiveness.
Okay. So what do you do with that shit? Is that the last step?
That's the last step.
Oh, I like that.
You release it into the air.
So through those vents again. Oh, that's where it comes from. Other people release it and then it goes through the vents to you.
100%. Yes. Definitely. It's like an HVAC system. Of forgiveness.
I do like myself an HVAC. Okay.
Have you turned the heat on in your house yet?
It is effing cold here, man.
It's so fucking cold.
We have the heat on in the office. I have the heat on in the house. What's happening? And we usually have a fire at our house, and then we had to have our chimney inspected because our house. Remember that one time you walked in my house and you're like, it smells very smoky in here? There's like 6 months ago. Do you remember this?
No.
And you're like, it smells a little smoky in here. And I was like, oh, yeah, sometimes it does. Like, you get a whiff of the fire, like, even when we're not using it.
Wait.
And I had, like, mentioned that to my partner.
Yeah.
And so we had somebody come out. The guy was like, you guys cannot use this fireplace. Your house will burn down. So now we're having to get a new fireplace.
Did you get, like, a chimney sweeper?
You think that my partner, you think my Aaron has not had a chimney sweeper out every 6 months since we bought this house? Have you met him? The company's called Ye Old Chimney Sweep, which I think is very adorable.
I love that.
Yeah, right? So I know. Great. I wish that they, like, walked in, like, you know, with dirty faces like Oliver Twist.
That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, my God. Well, yes. But you know what I was actually just thinking about is what we talked about is the little princess. I don't want to talk about that trauma. Can I forgive my parents for allowing me to watch that movie?
Can you forgive the director for making that movie and like having children watch it?
I cannot believe that was a normal movie we watched in our childhood.
You know how we talk about parentification? That is the most upsetting. And like how I've talked about feeling like an adult in a child's body. I think it maybe was a result of watching A Little Princess. Because holy shit, if you ever watched A Little Princess as a child, don't.
Don't watch it.
I want you to watch it as an adult and picture yourself being a child watch that.
It is really harmful. So, do we believe that there was direct intent?
No. They were probably like, this is a heartwarming story.
I didn't find it heartwarming. I found it quite traumatizing.
Yeah, no, I feel like I couldn't sleep.
Right?
It's like, Papa! Don't. If you've seen that. Also, if you've seen that, DM us and tell us your thoughts. Right? I think we should
I don't want to talk about it. It really still hurts to think about.
It's really bad.
But that's how I was thinking about chimney sweeps.
With the things.
Yeah. Remember like the time they gave us feedback that our podcast is not, it goes off topic too much?
Do you think this is part of it? Sorry, guys. Let's, but.
What's about anger?
Because I think that that's important. Yeah.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
And the difference between anger and resentment.
Oof. I feel like resentment's in my bones.
Like anger, where's anger? Like in your muscles?
I feel like anger is what radiates off of me in my tone, in my body language. Resentment is what I keep close in my bones of what I like is like so deep in there. Like to me, it feels like it's easier for me to get over and release anger. Resentment, it feels like, it's become like an integrated part that I have to like physically get off of me.
So yeah, anger is more of like an immediate reaction to it, like a situational event. Mm-hmm. Whereas resentment is something that like has lasted over time, right? That's where our forgiveness comes in. Mm-hmm. And I think this absolutely plays a role a lot in our romantic relationships.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So what are our two definitions here? Jen is so prepared. We have to do everything.
Okay. I was just going to like ad lib it, but I'll go for it. Anger is a reaction to a disturbing situation or an unpleasant event. Resentment, however, is not merely an automatic response to a situation, but involves a voluntary act of dwelling on past events. That's why I wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
Because the dwelling on past events reflects the fact that we haven't come to forgiveness of those mm-hmm. past events. You know how you get in a fight with your partner and then you bring up every single situation where they did the exact same thing?
I've never done that once in my life, Jennifer. Not me. Wrong girl.
And then you end up in this fight and you're like, this isn't mm-mm. even what we originally started to fight about.
I can't even imagine that happening. I've never heard of that happening to me. You're talking to the wrong person. I don't do that every Tuesday.
Why Tuesdays?
That's when I go to couples therapy. 2 p.m. on Tuesdays, okay?
Is it just building up? You're like, I might as well just like bring all the resentment to the surface.
No, I think it's because it is genuinely a consciousness release. Mm. And sometimes to consciously release, I have to like say it and like choose to let that one go.
Well, you know what?
And that's where couples therapy is very helpful.
That's what I was just going to say. The good thing about couples therapy is it's there's safety in having someone else there, right? You triangulate your couples therapist into your relationship. Yeah. But you're not going to – you're going to be more
– intentional. It feels so –
intentional at couples therapy.
Yeah.
Like when we have in the past had couples come in and they're actually like acknowledging each other's emotions and communicating and you're like, well – why can't you bring this home with you? It's because we're sitting right there, of course.
Yeah, because someone else is. But also then the accountability of going in the next week and knowing that my partner's kind of going to report back in some way. I'm like, guess I'm going to hold it together more than I normally would if I just let myself be like animalistic.
Well, it is very animalistic, unhinged. Right? Well, and I think that part of resentment too is that we like hold on to it. We're like, I'm gonna file all of these things away so that I can protect myself.
Okay, like my dog. There's a point to this,
I assume.
Murphy, like there's a dog in our neighborhood that my dog hates, and one time this dog got out of his electric fence and charged Murphy while we were on a walk past its house, and I kid you not, Murphy, who's like playing with little dog, like my dog's a gajillion pounds and Jen's dog is 1 pound. Mm-hmm. And like Murphy, like play with him, you know what I mean? But this one fucking dog, my dog cannot, Murphy cannot release. He cannot let go of. It is so animalistic. It is the only dog who does it to. Even if other dogs are like barking at him and freaking out and he doesn't do it back, except for this dog in my block.
So thinking about Murphy, I would think about that as like, oh, he's trying to protect himself.
I think he wants revenge. Probably, I guess it's probably protection.
Isn't it all protection?
I've been thinking about it. In
terms think of he wants revenge. I think he wants revenge.
You're probably right. But I have been in my brain calling it revenge. Yes.
Right. How would he get revenge? Like a Count of Monte Cristo situation?
Exactly.
You ever seen Count of Monte Cristo? It's the best movie. Did you ever see it?
Well, I don't know if I'd say best, but definitely better than Little Princess.
I was supposed to read it.
Of course, and you watched the movie because everyone did.
And they definitely ask you questions that are about the book that are separated from the movie.
They
and
know.
I got all of those wrong.
Because they know.
They're so smart.
They're so smart, those teachers.
Really underestimated those teachers. Okay. Anyway, but I think I think when we think about it in animals, we think about it as, oh, they're protecting themselves, right? But when we think about it within ourselves, we're like, oh, this is resentment. Your resentment is a means to try and protect yourself, right? Like, I'm going to bring this up in our next fight, and I'm going to show you all the ways that you hurt me. And what you're really
because
saying
I'm hurt.
Is I'm hurt, and I've been hurt, and I don't want you to keep hurting me. But instead of saying that, we say, well, you never take out the fucking trash. Right?
I don't know. Not me. Wrong bitch. Don't look over here. I've never done any of this before.
And so when we talk about resentment and releasing resentment, we are not saying, oh, that means you're condoning behavior. You're saying it's okay. Mm-hmm. But you're choosing a different way to set boundaries. And you're releasing some of that old stuff that's only sitting with you, just as you said, Em, it like is in your bones.
Yeah.
Like, how bad does that feel?
It feels horrible.
So bad. Resentment.
And it feels
so
trapping.
Bad.
It feels like very like I feel like trapped in it when I have this.
Like
emotions.
A caged animal.
Oh my God. It is. That is. Okay. Dear Em and Jen.
Ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dear Em and Jen, I have this friend who is about 8 years older than me, and whenever I mention anything, getting tired, wrinkles, weight gain, cellulite, eyes going bad, injuries, hormonal stuff, so literally, you know, all the stuff that happens with age, she basically says, oh yeah, I went through that, or wait until you're my age. And it isn't helpful at all. It isn't, oh, hey, I went through that, and how's how I dealt with it? It is very much a form of comparative suffering. Like, she got there first, or whatever I'm feeling, because it isn't new to her, it isn't worth discussing, and she's been experiencing longer, so she one-ups whatever physical or emotional pain I'm dealing with. It very much, this person is, also the person who wrote this in, is very conscious and intentional, and I love this wording. It is very much undercuts whatever my experience is, and makes me not want to talk to her about these things. How do I approach these comments in a constructive way?
It's almost one downing, you know, like a one upper.
Yeah, but it's worse for me. One upper is like things are better for me, but a one downer is like things are worse for
things
me.
Things are worse for me.
But I have to tell you, the person who wrote this in, you know, you're saying like, how do I approach these little comments? How you just said it to us is exactly how I would approach it. This is beautifully written, right? Sometimes it feels like because you got there first, there isn't room to discuss it for me. And I know you went through this, right? You clearly are already really good with your words and how to communicate, but the emotions are what's getting in the way when it goes to actually talking to this friend. Because the way you said it to us was absolutely perfect and beautiful. But I'm wondering if what comes up is the emotions of, hey, I'm actually mad about this, right? This actually really hurt me, and I maybe have a little resentment towards our relationship for this. So the question is, how do I communicate this with keeping my emotions at bay and respond and not react?
And so does it mean taking yourself through the four steps of forgiveness?
Towards this person, right? And role play it. I would literally give yourself a thing. Or this is like another good example of doing shit over text, right? Hey, I was thinking about it, and earlier when I made this comment and this was your response, I noticed that it isn't the first time I felt sort of shut down. I don't think you ever do this intentionally. And it feels sometimes like when you do, I feel myself pull away from you. And I want to make sure there's space in our relationship for both of us to exist together.
And here are some of the ways that like it might be really helpful for me. And they can choose to respond in that way or not respond in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And they might get angry, they might get upset, or they might say, hey, I hear you. Yeah. I understand.
And remember, just because somebody gets upset does not mean you shouldn't have done or said what you did, right? Like, it's very normal. Like, a lot of times we don't like hearing feedback as people. Like, sometimes if someone gives me feedback, I immediately feel reactive too. And then I have to, like, pull myself out of it and be like, all right, I hear what you're saying. And sometimes that is better done over text.
Like, I was just going to say, sometimes text allows for that.
And that's okay.
That
yeah, like, I feel like it's such, like, a stigmatized thing, once again, to text. But, like, I don't give a shit how you talk, as long as you talk.
Right. As long as you get it out. Because otherwise, there's resentment that's going to build up that might create a wall in your relationship with this person. So if this relationship is really important to you, something to do, acknowledge first how you're feeling, and it sounds like through this you already are, to be able to say, okay, I want to make a decision to forgive this person, and I am going to move forward with forgiving them, and then I'm going to maybe acknowledge where they're coming from in this. Mm-hmm. Maybe they never, maybe when they expressed themselves to a parent or to other people, that was the response that they got. So that's how they learned.
Or maybe they feel really insecure about being 8 years older. Maybe there's stuff about you that brings stuff up for them as well. The fact that, like, you're sitting here talking about Wrinkle and Cellulite and they have so much more, right? Like, I've experienced that before. As someone, like, in a bigger body, when someone in a smaller body talks about weight gain, I'm like, all right, well, if you think that about yourself, what do you think about me? Mm. So it could also be that when you bring these things up, it's bringing something up for them. And part of that is them shutting it down because they can't go there with you.
That makes so much sense.
I'm just saying.
Totally.
There's a possibility.
So once again, and then getting to the point where you can forgive and also set boundaries. That it doesn't mean it's just like, okay, this is fine. But if this relationship is really important to you, to be able to set those boundaries and say, hey, this is how this feels. Is there another way we can communicate about this?
There we go.
That's our episode on forgiveness. If
forgive us if you hated it.
Forgive us. But that would be for us. So forgive us only if it's for you. So if this is helpful for you or you think it would be helpful for a friend, feel free to send it on over. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe and follow on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.